Your eyes are telling me you're getting tired of waiting. You got a secret dream, I give you everything. You got my body shaking. We can run, we can hide, make a love in the night, but I won't leave without you. If it's wrong, if it's right, I don't care, gonna fight. Can't live the dream without you. We'll make it pop. If it's wrong, if it's right, I don't care, gonna fight. Can't live the dream without you. We'll make it pop.
Radio Internazionale, la tua radio preferita.
Holy Spirit, thank you. Darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so high.
Welcome to our live broadcast of The Light of the World. Today is Friday, May 10th, 2024, and we will be with you up until 10 o'clock local time here in Belgium. Our program can be heard live on the local radio station, Radio Internationale, which is found on 105.8 FM. And you can also listen to us and follow us through the radio station's website, which is www.radioin.be. You can also follow us through the radio station's app. You can download the app to your smartphone. The app's name is Radio Internationale. That is two words, Radio Internationale. Internationale is spelled Internationale. Our telephone number here at the program is 0474-852566. If you're calling outside of Belgium, you will need to add your international calling code, followed by the country code of Belgium, 32, and then 474-852566. 866. With that same number, you're able to find us on WhatsApp and on Viber. And there you can send us your comments, your questions that you might have on this evening's program or some other program that you might have heard. Or if you have any general questions regarding the Word of God, we will try to answer you through the Word of God. If not in this program, then in our next upcoming programs, we will answer your question by the grace of our Lord. Before we begin, we'd like to remind our listeners that our offering from us, from here at the Light of the World, is a free New Testament in the language of the listener's choice. For we believe that which is written in the Scriptures, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever shall believe. If anyone is interested, you can send us your name and address, and we will send you a New Testament in the language of your choice. We thank the Lord for this evening. We praise Him for His grace and for His mercy. And for the rest of the time, this evening we're going to open up the Bible and we're going to look at some scriptures regarding the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has been documented by Luke the physician in the book of Acts. And it is something that we here in Belgium were celebrating yesterday. And it's important for us to understand what are these Christian holidays that we celebrate as a nation. And hopefully this evening, through the scriptures that we're going to share, we will see how indeed important these days that we're observing, and we're taking a day off from work, yes, indeed, to rest. But how awesome it is to understand what took place on this day in order for you and I to be able to take a day off from work. And this happens every year, precisely, exactly 40 days after we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that being said, we need to understand this evening that Jesus Christ is alive. Jesus Christ resurrected, and He is alive. And He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And His task is to mediate for all the people who call upon His name. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what the scripture says. This is what Apostle John writes in his epistle, in his first epistle to the believers. The Apostle John, one of the 12, he says in his first epistle in chapter 2 that he is an advocate with the Father, for we have an advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Because Christ did not come for some individuals. Christ did not come for some specific ethnicity or specific nation. But He came for the whole world. And God the Father did not love a specific person, whether they were tall or short, smart or uneducated, for example, educated or uneducated, rich or poor. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that who believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world that the world will be judged, but for the world but to be saved through Him. And it's important for us to realize that we need to be saved. And that there is only one Savior. Praise the name of the Lord. But we will look at that, of course, by the grace of the Lord, as we begin this evening's reading from the book of Acts, from chapter 1. And we're going to start from the beginning by the grace of the Lord. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is what happened on the day that Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven. He was gathered together with the apostles, and he was giving them instructions, as we read. He was giving them commandments through the Holy Spirit. He was giving them commandments regarding the kingdom of heaven. And it's all about the kingdom of heaven. And this is what Christ came to preach to us. He came to preach to us about the kingdom of heaven. This is the message, this is the gospel message, that there is a kingdom and that there is a king, and that we need to come to know who this king is. This king is righteous. This king is just. This king has mercy. This king has grace. This king emptied himself out in order for him to come in the likeness and in the form of man, so that he may be able to understand what it is, what it is like to be in this body. And that's why we have a high priest who is able to understand us and to sympathize with us, because he also was found in the form of this body. He was crucified. He resurrected the third day. And up until this day that we read here in the book of Acts, he presented himself with infallible proofs that he was alive. And some of these infallible proofs, we're able to read them in the Gospels, especially in the Gospel of John. We're able to read at least three different times in which Jesus Christ presented himself alive after his resurrection. The first time, it is on the John chapter 20 and in verse 19, as we read, and he says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, so it's the same day in which Christ resurrected, the first day of the week, what we call today Sunday, what is called in the Greek language Kyriaki, which means the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. Kyrios meaning Lord, and it was named after him. Why? Because it was that first day of the week in which he resurrected. Praise the name of the Lord. And being the first day of the week at evening, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. So here's the first time that he is presenting himself alive, resurrected, after he was crucified and after he was placed in the tomb dead. There wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that they made a mistake and they placed him in the tomb alive, because as we read the scriptures, as he was hanging there on the cross, and he breathed his last breath, and he said, it is finished. Remember that a Roman soldier came with his spear and pierced him at his side in order to confirm that indeed he had died. And when they took him down from the cross, of course he was dead. And they took him and they buried him dead. But on that first day of the week, all glory be to God and all our praises to our Lord Jesus Christ, that death was not able to hold him, but God the Father resurrected him, raised him up from the dead. And that's why also, if we die to the flesh, if we die to our desires, if we die to this world, we also, with certainty, will be resurrected one day. And if not resurrected, and if we're alive and living in the day in which the Lord comes to receive the church, will be transformed, where this mortal body will put on immortality, and where this corrupt body will put on incorruption. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to go meet the Lord in the air. In the air. Praise God. And this is why we're preaching the gospel. This is why we're preaching the kingdom of heaven, the message of the kingdom of heaven, which, of course, involves repenting. We cannot follow Christ the way we want to follow him. There is only one way that Christ calls us to follow him. It is to deny ourselves, to pick up a cross, and to follow him every day. Every day until our very last breath. And along that way in which we're following Christ, as we've entered through that narrow gate and we're walking through that hard-pressed road that leads to eternal life, we will have Christ with us, helping us, strengthening us every step of the way. And when we stumble and fall, it is he who's going to be there to pick us back up. Praise the name of the Lord. It's important to understand that God is calling everyone. He's calling everyone to repent and to believe in the gospel. To understand that the kingdom is coming. This is what Christ himself spoke and preached. As we look at the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1 and in verse 14, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. You see, the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news is that what? That there is a kingdom of God. The good news comes from the kingdom of God. The good news comes from the King himself, from the King of kings, from the Lord of lords. For God indeed has spoken to mankind in many ways, in various times, in various ways. He spoke in the time past. The author of the epistle to the Hebrew mentions, chapter 1 and verse 1, I read, God, at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. You see, God speaks. God is alive. God exists. And he wants to have a relationship with his creation. Don't forget, he created us in his image, in his likeness. And he created us for the sole purpose that we will live with him forever in his presence. And the only way, of course, we're able to live with him forever in the presence of God, it is for us to be obedient to him. And that's why through one man's disobedience, which is the man Adam, entered death. And with that, of course, entered the fall of mankind. And this is what we're living today. We're living the result of that of that act of disobedience, we're still living in this fallen state. Where there's no justice, there's no peace, there's no goodness. But there's evil, there's injustice. There is terrorist acts that bring terror to the hearts and minds of the people. And most of the time, we who are living in the Western civilization, we're not fazed by these things, especially, for example, say terrorism. But we face what? Injustices. We see the evil that's being, that we're surrounded with. We've seen our penitentiary system, the jails being filled, both men and women of all ages, of all walks of life. Why are these jails being filled? Because the people are lawless. And the Word of God tells us that in the latter days, there will be lawlessness. I don't think that these people are people of God in the sense that they read their Bibles, they pray, and then they go out to do evil. I can't accept that in a sense. I don't understand that. How is that possible? Maybe it is. I could be wrong. But here, when I read the scriptures have the power to transform the person. We all have done things in our past which, of course, they're not pleasant. They're not something to advertise. Things that we are ashamed of. Whether they're illegal or legal, regardless of whatever it might be, but before God, we have all fallen short of His glory, and we all have sinned. And everybody is called unto what? To repent. As we see Christ here saying, for He came preaching the kingdom, and in Mark 1:15, and what was His preaching? The time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The time is fulfilled. This was over 2,000 years ago that Christ came and witnessed that the time was fulfilled and that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How much more now in the days in which we are living? In 2024. Don't you think that the kingdom of God is much more closer than it was then? Of course it is. Of course it is. But the message remains the same. Repent and believe in the gospel. And this is why we see here the Lord revealing Himself to His apostles to show Him that He has resurrected, to show them that indeed that in which He told them regarding the Son of Man will take place, that it took place, and of course, they're living now the part that He was also resurrected. Because if we look at the scriptures, there were three things which had to be fulfilled. And I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, where Jesus, for the first time, begins to reveal to his disciples what? The plan of salvation, that He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. So here we can break it down into four things. First, he must go to Jerusalem. That is where these things must take place. He must be in Jerusalem. So they went with him in Jerusalem. And he entered Jerusalem on what we call, for example, Palm Sunday, riding on the donkey. So he enters Jerusalem. A few days later, what happens? He does suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Thursday night up until Friday morning when they handed him over to Pontius Pilate. And then he was there that through the Jews' input. Pontius Pilate, what? Handed him over to be killed. And not just killed, but crucified. So here we see three things that already have taken place. And the fourth thing is that he says to be raised on the third day. And that's what the fourth thing is being fulfilled here in the Gospel of John in chapter 20 where we read, where he appeared to his disciples. And he showed them, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Yes, they saw the Lord after they saw him being crucified, after they saw him being buried. And being afraid that this also happened to them, that's why they were there in the upper room, locked behind closed doors for the fear indeed of the Jews, that they would also take them and condemn them to death and eventually crucify them. The next time we see him is a week later, that when the disciples, he says in 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being locked shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." And you see that Christ does not come into our lives to do us harm or to terrify us, but he comes into our lives so that we may have peace. And you know the first peace that comes into our lives without realizing it, but later on we learn as we grow in the knowledge of the gospel, the first peace that comes into our lives and that we feel is that now through Christ's resurrection, we have peace before God the Father. We have peace before God the Father. This is the peace in which we feel, where we can't describe it, but we do feel it. It is an awesome feeling. We don't know where it's coming from, why it's there. But as we grow in Christ, as we learn the scriptures, as we come to know him more and more, we read in Romans chapter 5, it is through Christ himself that now we have peace before the Father God, because before that, what, we were enemies of God because of our sin. Because Christ died for our sins and he arose for our justification. And now we are justified, and all those people who believe in Christ Jesus are justified. They're justified through the work that Christ did, not because they are just themselves, but it is through the blood of Jesus. It is through that unjust act that was done towards Jesus Christ that is able to justify now our unjust acts. Praise God. So this is the second time, for example, as we are looking now in those 40 days after the Lord was resurrected, how he appeared to his disciples with infallible proofs. And before we move on from the second time, it was there that Thomas, which was not there the first time the Lord appeared to his disciples, the disciples told Thomas about the Lord's visitation, and Thomas did not believe them. He couldn't believe it. I don't think Thomas thought that the disciples were lying to him as an act because they were liars. He just couldn't believe it. And sometimes this happens to us in our lives, that we just can't believe it. We're not calling the other person a liar, but it's just that our mind cannot comprehend it. And of course, when it comes to the things of the Lord, unless you've experienced it yourself indeed, a lot of things are difficult to believe and understand. When somebody is witnessing to you, when somebody's explaining to you how the Lord, for example, could have healed him, how the Lord maybe could have liberated him, how the Lord, for example, could have moved in his life and performed a miracle. Because that's what they are, huh? God's work and the Lord's work in our lives are miracles. And miracles are things that cannot be expressed. They cannot be understood also by the person who is hearing them. Even for the person who is receiving that miracle, it's difficult for them to comprehend it and to analyze it and to rationalize it. We can't. And that's the purpose of God's work and God's acts in our lives and in the lives of every individual, to work a miracle. To work a miracle. This reminds me of the person who was born blind, and the Lord Jesus Christ healed him as he put mud in his eyes and he told him, go wash there in the pool of Siloam. And he went and he washed his face and his eyes, and he washed the mud off his face and his eyes, and he was able to see. When the Pharisees found out, when the religious people of those days found out, they interrogated him. Because they thought that only through them, God is only able to work miracles. And this seemed very strange, very odd to them. They couldn't accept that a miracle had taken place without God going through them. And that's how, unfortunately, religions have become, and religious rulers and leaders have become. They have become arrogant, thinking that God is only able to work through them. And anyone who thinks that God is only able to work through them is arrogant and doesn't know God. And that person told them, I don't know much about this person. I don't know if this person is a sinner the way you are, of course, condemning him as a sinner. I don't know who he is. But one thing I know, that I was blind, but now I see. Praise the name of the Lord. We can't explain a lot of things, but what we know, we know. At one moment in my life, I was living in sin, and I wanted to live in sin, and I chased sin. I desired to live according to the flesh. I lust to live according to the flesh. The Lord comes into my life, and I no longer desire to live according to the flesh. I no longer desire to live according to the lusts of my eyes and so forth, and according to the lusts of the world and the desires of the world. And someone might say, what are you desiring then? What are you living for? I desire to do God's will in my life. I want to live for Christ. Am I successful all the time? No. There's days that I stumble, there's days that I fall. There's moments that I stumble and fall, but as we read in the beginning, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, who's an advocate for us. And believing in his sacrifice, being washed in his blood, I'm hidden in Christ Jesus. Because I no longer walk according to the flesh, but I walk according to the Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. So that was the second time in the Gospel of John we see Jesus presenting himself. And then the third time we see it in chapter 21 where he himself says it, where the Apostle John reveals in the first verse saying, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon, Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter because we're going to save some time. But in verse 14, he says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples. Praise the name of the Lord. And he's appearing to them again here before he is lifted up with a message to not depart from Jerusalem, but to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high, until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit, in which is going to empower them in order for them to witness Jesus Christ, to witness what they heard from him, to witness his ministry, the messages they heard through him, to witness and talk about the crucifixion, to witness about the resurrection, to witness about receiving the Holy Spirit as he had told them on the evening in which before he was betrayed and he surrendered himself over to the Jewish people. And he told them that it is for your benefit that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, cannot come. But because I go away, I'm going to send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. So it's the promise of the Father, but it's Jesus Christ himself who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And because I see that indeed our time has passed away, has passed. We have a couple of minutes left. So this is what he told them. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we also, in our days, are waiting and asking indeed for the Lord to empower us with the Holy Spirit that we could also be witnesses in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our provinces, in the countries in which the Lord has placed us, what? To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. So indeed, while he was speaking these things, and when he had spoken these things, not while, but after he had spoken these things, and they were looking at him, they saw him ascending up into the air, and he went out of their sight as he entered into a cloud. Praise the name of the Lord. And we see that, being obedient, they returned to Jerusalem, and there they waited, as the Lord had commanded them, for the Holy Spirit to come and to empower them. Praise the name of the Lord. May the Lord help us, also for us to be obedient, to listen to the gospel, to listen to his will, to listen to him where he tells us to wait, to listen to him when he tells us to go. Praise the name of the Lord. We want to be disciples. We want to be obedient to God's will, because only through obedience, then we are able to receive his promises and all the blessings that he has for each and every one of us. We reach the end of our program. We want to wish you a blessed evening and a blessed weekend. And until next time, God bless.
Light of the world. A Christian program which is broadcasted